Maybe it is safer underground.
You're not even real soldiers, are you? I mean, what in God's name are you doing here?
Tunneling under German lines. Protecting your trenches.
From?
German tunnellers.
Who didn't show up until you arrived. And who are now attempting to do the exact same bloody thing.
Your point being?
That it was bad enough my men being shelled from above and shot out from in front. Now they're being mined from underneath. If the man is wounded, Woodward, then for Christ's sake send him to the dressing station. If he's not, then he should be back on duty.
For war babies like me, war films were mostly black and white and about heroes. The heroes were male and usually British and somehow mostly descended from Biggles. Though Billy Wilder's Stalag 17 with a superb performance from William Holden did change my mind about that. These reflections are prompted by the new Australian film Beneath Hill 60, which conforms in so many ways to the classic war films as defined by the British post-war. A group of soldiers performing a dangerous mission, bonding under fire. In this case, though, the film's based on the experiences of Australian miners on a ridge near Ypres. Brendan Cowell plays Oliver Woodward, a real-life hero who indeed won the Military Cross three times. Only four men have ever done this. An engineer trained at the Charters Tower School of Mines, Woodward was sent first to Papua New Guinea and then to the Western Front and across the border to a ridge near Ypres to lead a company of Australian tunnellers going under the German lines. By 1916, in the bloody, muddy, reeking stalemate of the Western Front, the Allies had begun, in desperation, to try and go under the German lines, and they needed tunnellers. They brought Welsh, Canadian and Australian miners to a number of sites. But Woodward's company was assigned to one of the most difficult, Hill 60, on the Messines Ridge. The Germans, they knew, were tunnelling too. Each side had listening posts. These poor bastards had to sit there underground, sweating, with medical earphones on against the wall, to listen for the enemy before the enemy found them. The miners also had to deal with leaking and unstable earth in the tunnels and the constant vibrating, destabilising effect of enemy fire. Now, the Allies had a plan to blow Hill 60 to kingdom come. Well, you can see the drama and the suspense in all this. Screenwriter David Roche and director Jeremy Sims have modelled their film on some classics. It's Men Under Pressure in Confined Spaces. And, of course, we get to know the characters as the deadlines press upon them. Here, there's young Frank, a 16-year-old from Wollongong, terrified, constantly shaking. There's 18-year-old Walter and his dad, miners from the Hunter Valley. His dad joined to look after Walter. He and his missus couldn't bear to let him go alone. Steve LeMacan plays Fraser, the veteran who's not at all convinced by Woodward's first decisions. Gittin Grantley plays Pull Through Morris. He's my favourite type. Wait till you see him. And Mark Cole Smith plays the runner Streaky Bacon. Yes, there was indeed an Aboriginal soldier among the Australian tunnellers. Now, in a classic war film, there are moves we must expect. We know there will be challenges to the leader, there will be individual acts of sacrifice, there will be conflict over tactics. We also know that not everyone will come out alive. At certain points in the story, we do know what's coming. Yet the story is a fascinating one, and I think this film does it credit. First, it looks convincing. The trenches and tunnels were recreated in the countryside near Townsville, and they have that reeking, claustrophobic feel. And then the performances. It's to the considerable credit of director Jeremy Sims and the actors that the film pulls back from hyperbole and maintains the tension most of the time, and that we do invest emotionally in many of the characters, even though there are times when the screenplay goes very close to cliche. As Woodward himself, Brendan Cowell succeeds in projecting that rare character on screen, a decent, resourceful man. Very much a man of his time, though. Men were different then. They thought differently. They worked with each other differently. They even walked differently. There is a respect for order, but no stiff upper lip here. Indeed, it's a pity that Roche's screenplay insists on giving us a stereotypical snobbish British officer impersonated by Chris Hayward. Those attitudes to other ranks and disrespectful colonials did exist in the trenches, but in cinema, we've simply been there too often. For me, the only unconvincing moments in the film were the interludes back in Australia with Woodward's sweetheart Marjorie Waddell and her family. They were simply too pretty and neat. It's as though we'd wandered into another movie altogether, and I don't think we really needed them for the emotional respite. In 1916, when the Allies did succeed in blowing up Hill 60, the blast was heard and felt as far away as Dublin. It's not whether they did it, but how they did it and what it cost. That's the story here. I'm glad it's told as well as it is. Beneath Hill 60 is out now and it's rated M. Coming up, Jeremy Sims and Brendan Cowell on Anzac and Australian masculinity.
Mademoiselle from Armitage, parlez-vous. Mademoiselle from Armitage,
if you heard the historian Will Davies talking with Richard Adie on Life Matters recently, you'll know that the script and actors in Beneath Hill 60 were able to draw on quite detailed diaries Oliver Woodward wrote when he finally got back to Australia. He actually had to stay on for a couple of years after the war to dispose of unexploded German mines, and then he went back to Queensland.